Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past in the flesh, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, which have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Just for a moment, saints, we want to ask you, think about this word as we go through this phrase, true peace, true peace. I was thinking then two refrains, something that was sung, something that was said, just a song just now that go retrospectively. We were singing just a moment ago, it's me, oh me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Not my father, not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Now, on one hand, it sounds individualistic, but the church might could be singing that song. Amen. Amen. The church, because we are called the pillar and ground of the truth. And so we are supposed to mirror as an image of God, not in terms of our individual individuality, but in terms of the church. The church should not have just Christians in it, but Christ over it. He is over it. But we are to reflect him to the world. He called us salt and light. Then I thought about, Reverend Jenkins was singing or mentioned that song. We're singing about the red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Now, we know that is a utopian idea, not that Christ does not love the little children of the world, but that red and yellow, black and white will get along. Amen. And usually it's the children are the ones God don't have the problem with when it comes to that. We said before, prejudice does not come. Children are born genetically with prejudice. You're taught that. So here we are, and we are celebrating this, the end of February. We have been designated as Black History Month. I don't know if we had any say in it, you know. Nonetheless, here we are. And praise God, you know. And so we should celebrate who God made you not only all people are made in his image and likeness, but in terms of where we have come from and who we are, and no matter what designation we are given ethnically, racially, you're a person. And so we're celebrating our history. Amen. And so today, Black History Month, some of us, have something on, in terms of ethnicity. Also, there was not only the ethnic aspect, but also the international aspect. And we'll get to that in a moment. Because we are believers now. Amen. And see, you're saved. Now, being Afro-American does not mean you're saved. But I still thank God who I am. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to be anything else. Amen. I mean, I remember I used to, one movie used to make me cry every time I watch it. It was called Imitation of Life. Yeah, the one with Lana Turner in it. I know the thing. You know. And so you have these cultural movies embedded in it. It gives you, again, life or imitating art or art imitating life. In other words, what might be going on in real life, they make a movie of it. Or when they make a movie of it, people duplicate it in life. But nonetheless, it's a reality. And we find ourselves, again, at a place where it does not look like we're getting progress. Amen. And this is pervasive. We have our own, I use the term, continental issues here, with North America. But all over the world, you got measures of segregation and racism, even to the point it becomes genocidal, where they try to eliminate whole races of people. Amen. And live out that hatred again. But nonetheless, brothers and sisters, we who are believers in Christ, we have a mandate to exhibit to the world, both word and deed, that is not God's program. Are you with me here? While we're yet trying to bring down barriers, we're putting up walls. That's going backwards. And we have to be careful, because there are ideologies that precipitate these things. Nationalism, even sometimes patriotism that becomes perverted. Amen. I mean, America, that's, land of the free, home of the brave, that was before. Amen. But when other kinds of entities and ideologies become and get in there, even the part of natural heritage no longer becomes that which is a keepsake for everybody else. Ain't that right? I mean, I go by the scriptures, but even your constitution said everybody has an inalienable right. Ain't that right? Okay, but then, that depends on who's interpreting it. Ain't that right? But that's why I'm glad I got the Bible. See, sometimes the Christian prioritizes the Constitution over the scriptures. Now, the Constitution was given, and that our forefathers, so to speak, were a part of that, which put those things together. But see, at root, the issue is not that. The issue is man's heart. Amen. And as long as you're driven by sin and all of those things that it brings out, see, you're going to have a situation where, not how many documents you have, you don't have the reality. And so we got a document. We got a document. It is a divine Magna Carta. That means this is God's holy constitution that determines how he's going to, how he sees things, how he's determined things, and how he's going to judge things. But nonetheless, we still got the, because you see, when you get saved, sometimes you bring your baggage into your salvation.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You bring your baggage into your salvation. We were talking a little while ago, to our class, it's something, when you had the Civil War. Amen. You had the North and the South, Confederate and the Union. Ain't that right? Yeah. And you had people on both sides, and we know why they was fighting most of all, because of slavery. But nonetheless, you had people on both sides in the same family fighting each other. Yeah. Come on here. And then some of those folk were saved. I said some of them were saved. And so that means, however, if they were saved, that means they had the same God. When I talk about Islam and Christianity, we mean Christians. So if they saved and they believed in Christ, they had the same God and same Jesus. Are you with me? So when they prayed, who were they asking God to help win the war? See, because that's what I mean when you say you had the scriptures, but then if you let things go in that are not according to, at root, the revelation of scripture when it comes to God in terms of how he sees man and what God has designated as what is equal for all men, see, then you're going to have a problem. Are you with me here? And so in this letter, the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church where you have both Gentiles and Jewish believers. Amen. And you'll see it after he deals with, in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks towards what is true and what God has given to every believer in Jesus Christ. Everybody who has come to Christ, no matter, regardless of your color, your ethnicity, are you with me here? As long as you have put your faith in Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about categories that have been made up by our culture. I'm talking about those categories that are made up by God. If you put your faith in Christ and trust in him from your heart, you believe he's the Son of God and he rose from the grave. If you put your faith in that and you believe that, then you're a child of God. Then, that being said, God lays out how we ought to live our lives according to being kingdom people. Amen. Are you with me? And everybody, according to the scripture, everybody who's saved is elect of God. We are all accepted in the beloved. We are all been predestinated. Ain't that right? We are all inheritors. We all have equal rights with the Son of God under him from God because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, are you with me? So he starts to spell all that out in the first chapter and he moves on. But he pauses because in this church, there were Jew and Gentile believers. And what Paul sought to do is to make sure that y'all remember from whence y'all came. Amen. Amen. Because in any church, again, brothers and sisters, you can have certain things that still cling to you that you have not dealt with that can cause certain measures of segregation. I'm not talking about social or racial segregation. That happens too sometimes. I'm talking about the fact even when you come together, we need to understand, again, that the unity of the believers comes through what God says about all believers. And let's not be naive about it. Amen. Excuse the expression. You're supposed to love everybody. But some people don't even like anybody. So Paul writes to this church. Y'all stay with me for a minute here. Because you hear words that are used. People groups have gotten reparations for what has happened to them. The Jews got those things because of what happened with the Nazism in Germany. And then there was calls even from our race for reparations. And nobody's paying attention to that. And I'm not going on one side or the other with that right now. My point is, brothers and sisters, that some are seeking to have amends made for what was lost or what was done. But I'm here to tell you that God has his concept of peace. You with me here? Peace ultimately is not going to come through Camp David. It's not going to come. You know why too? Because Camp David is the place where you meet. But it has a lot to do with who shows up. Camp David ain't Disney World. You ain't going to go there in some fantasy and think just because you at a certain place. Now, don't misunderstand me now. Praise God for the accords that come out of that. Hey, are you with me now? The seek peace in the Middle East. And then, you know, you try to work out some sort of thing that will allow people to live together, so to speak. But if the heart ain't changed, You can, listen, you can pass laws to try to make you do towards me what the law said you should do, but that don't mean you change inside. I'll speak to you because I don't want to lose my pension. And so Paul writes to this church, and it's not necessarily because they had a whole lot of problems, but he wanted them to understand how this came about and what God's expectations are. And so you look in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writing to this church had both Jew and Gentile believers. And listen, when you read the Bible, you need to understand it. Otherwise, you will not understand sometime why God says things that he says and why he compartmentalizes these people groups. Because when we look at the world, we see them through a lens a lot of time from a cultural perspective and not necessarily from a God-given one. Our worldview should come from the scriptures. Are you with me here? That means how you see the world should come from how God says it should be seen, not by the culture, because culture is relative. That means they change different things. They change other things. Things that God does not agree on, they make it as if you have to do this and have to do that. No, you go by the scriptures. Are you following me here? And so when God looks at this, he sees Jew and Gentile, two people groups in here. Amen? And the Jews were the chosen people of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Am I right about it? But then if you read scripture rightly, God always had a plan for the Gentiles to come in to be a partaker of the covenant and the promises. And then, however, even when Jesus came, are you with me now? And even in Jesus, when he went to the cross and died on the cross for the sin of the world, after he died and rose again, and he told the disciples, they get ready because I want you to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Didn't he say that? What he meant was, he did not mean geographically. He meant according to people groups. He wanted you to branch out. But before, amen, the Holy Ghost had yet fallen on them for sure, they already asked the question, Lord, at this time, will you restore again the kingdom to Israel? My point is, they still were looking for Israel's heritage, Israel's promises. Even though the Lord Jesus told them to spread out, they were still thinking about what belonged to them. Even when they, amen, when they start going out, so to speak, even that it got too far, Peter had to have God give him a vision on the rooftop to get them to understand that what God has cleansed, don't you call count. Amen. He had to make the leader of the church, of the body of Christ, he had to make the leader of the church, him and John were the spiritual spokesman. But Peter still had in his mind, it was not taken away from him to understand that God had a plan for both of these people to come together in him through Christ. He had to cause him to go down there to get the message. He had to cause them to Cornelius and his household to, can I mention?
Yes, sir.
He caused them to speak the word of God. He speak in tongue, not because you have to do that to show that you have salvation. It's because Peter said, when that happened, that was a demonstration to us Jews that the same way we spoke in other tongue, not unknown tongue, on the day of Pentecost, God gave them the same gift. So we can't, because why? Peter couldn't see into Cornelius' heart, but God can see in his heart. And if Cornelius believed in his heart, God gave him salvation and the gift of the Holy Ghost.